What's up, y'all? Welcome to Procurement Foundry's 10-Year Talks, 15-minute podcast interviewing battle-tested procurement supply chain professionals who have the scars to prove it. We ask the same five questions every week, providing you with chewable bits of expertise. I'm your host, Katie McEwen, the Procurement Girl, representing BuyerQuest, the most user-friendly procurement solution in the world. 10-Year Talks streams live every Friday on LinkedIn and is available anywhere you get your podcasts. I'm so excited to introduce you to our rockstar guest today, Mark Richardson. He has extensive expertise in procurement supply chain. He's also a chapter leader inside Procurement Foundry, and he's the head of procurement at AAA Southern California, and certainly has some battle scars and a ton of expertise to share with the audience today. So Mark, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate your time. Tell me a little bit about what you've been working on this year and what your focus is right now.
All right. Well, first of all, Katie, thank you very much for the opportunity. You know, it's an absolute honor to be here. And nice to get to chat with you today. So, yeah, I mean, listen, I feel like my mind is still stuck somewhere on March 15th this year, given what's been going on. And just like the rest of the world and the rest of the procurement supply chain community, you know, the focus has been squarely around, you know, COVID response, whether that be PPE supplies, whether it be, you know, vendor risk mitigation strategies, or whether that be, you know, looking for cost savings opportunities and just making sure that the organization is prepared in that regard. But, you know, all the while, you know, the team has continued to move forward. Obviously, we've had to adapt from a working environment type of situation, which has been interesting, but very proud of the team, what we've done. And, you know, we continue to make process improvements as well and look at ways to digitize things, move things forward and improve efficiencies.
That's great. That's great. So how much of a challenge has it been to keep up morale within the organization, keeping the team members excited and focused on what they're supposed to be working on?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody, you know, has an awareness that, you know, we're all going through different situations. You know, we all are handling this in different ways. So, you know, overall, again, I'm very proud of both the procurement community as a whole, based on what I've seen and what I've heard. And then, you know, specific to my own team as well, we're very proud of what we've accomplished. And overall, I would say, you know, things like this aren't going to pass easily, and there's always going to be some anxiety and concern. But, you know, overall, I think things are good.
Well, you have a lot of wisdom to be such a young guy in this space, a millennial, like we talked about earlier. So who is that one person?
I'm an old millennial. We've had this conversation.
That's right. Old millennial, elder millennial. You deserve respect. So tell us about that one person in your life that was really a strong mentor for you, you know, whether it was a parent or a boss or a coach, who really inspired your path to success?
Yeah, Katie, I mean, I feel like, you know, first of all, I'm a big believer that I learn from everybody that I interact with, right? No matter what level that is, who my leader is, who my executives are that I'm supporting. So, you know, the good leaders, you pull out the good things. Those who you think, you know what, I would operate a little different, you learn from them too. But really, I can't put it down to one person. There are two individuals that I've reported to in my career. And it was early on in my career, that have really had the biggest influence for me. And I'm not going to name them by name. I'll call them the two J's. They will know who they are. Their names begin with J. And really what differentiated those two for me was, it's interesting, is they're actually very different in terms of individuals and how they operate. And I feel like my leadership style has landed somewhere in the middle of both of those, which is very interesting. But the thing that they both had was a willingness and ability to connect with people. And they always had an open door policy. I could always walk into their office, you know, no matter how busy they were, what they were wrapped in, they'd drop what they're doing and they'd stop and they'd talk to me, which I really valued and I really appreciated. And then the other thing, one of them was an ex-engineer, and so he was very detail-oriented, so he taught in me that ability to look at the details, whereas the other one was more of a thinker, a strategist, and, you know, he once told me, I walked into his office one day and he was just staring out of the window. I kind of asked, like, what are you doing? And he kind of said, Mark, you know, sometimes it's just okay to stop and think. And that was a really good leadership lesson for me and something that I've thought about a lot over the years.
Yeah. So do you practice the open door policy when you were able to go into the office?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, one of the first things I did when I moved into my current leadership role I was in an individual contributor role for a little while, as I actually flipped my desk around because it was facing kind of away from people and towards the wall. Turned that around so that it was more open and allowed people to come in and approach me, which, you know, made a world of difference, I think. So yeah, I tried to adapt that. I mean, obviously there's times, you know, I had a situation yesterday, one of my employees was trying to ask me something and I was like, you know what, I really just, I got to focus on something else right now. I'll get back to you. So there are times I can't do that, but in general, yeah, I have a very open door.
Yeah. And that's okay. Sometimes, you know, we can't always be available, but you know, you make the effort for most of the time. So that's awesome. I'm sure you're awesome to work for. So what would you say is the most innovative thing that you're seeing in the space right now?
Yeah. You know, others on the pod have commented before me on the explosion of procurement technology. You know, the organization you're with being one of those examples. So I think that's out there. Obviously, I have to give a shout out to Mike, Tina, and the Procurement Foundry crew. You know, I'm one of the original chapter leaders. I remember sitting early 2019 and talking about what that vision looked like with Mike. So it's fantastic to see what he's done. But quite honestly, you know, from my personal standpoint, some people know this. I have a kind of mildly unhealthy obsession with blockchain technology, actually. So I've been very interested in this technology for the last few years. And I really believe from a procurement and supply chain standpoint that everybody in this industry should have a very minimal knowledge of what this is, at very least, and kind of how it might impact us over the coming, you know, years, decades, and things like that from a procurement standpoint. And then specifically in that space, there's one organization that I'm really interested in right now. It's a company called Chainlink. They actually, without getting into too much details, they basically trying to figure out a way of connecting real world data into digital blockchain based data and utilizing what's called distributed oracles and that. I'm kind of getting a little technical there, but it's a pretty pretty cool organization feature. And like I said, yeah, blockchain technology is something that really fascinates me in our industry.
Yeah, well, being able to transmit that data and to being able to see that in blockchain, that's incredible. I mean, that's a huge feat for any organization right now to be able to accomplish. So cheers to them. So if someone would want to learn more about blockchain, what would you recommend as a good resource?
You know, there's a lot of content out there online. There's a lot of hype too, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different ways of kind of gathering that content. There's some good LinkedIn classes that are out there. I actually, just from a personal standpoint, I set up a small little group online too. You can see it on my LinkedIn profile that people are collaborating and talking about different blockchain solutions. But you know, it's just about immersion, right? It's about kind of seeing what's out there, maybe talking to your internal IT teams as to what their thoughts are, and you know, maybe looking at just following the market. It's an interesting goal. I call it the rabbit hole. Once you kind of get going there and you check out a few YouTube videos and you read some papers, your mind is really opened up wide in terms of what's out there and what the potential might be for this technology. Still a long way to go.
Yeah, but it seems like that's the direction that we're heading towards. I know whenever I've looked into blockchain, it just kind of makes my head hurt. It's a little bit above me, but it's a lot of noise too. But it's the way of the future, so it's good to dive in. So that's great. So Mark, can you tell us one unique thing about you that maybe the world of procurement doesn't know quite yet?
You know, I was thinking about this question and sadly to say this, I don't think I'm particularly unique in any one area. I do have an interesting fact about me that I think I can share. And there's been some, by the way, I wanted to call out some of the previous guests on the pod for some of the interesting facts they've given here. So I tried to think of something creative and, you know, this one's strange. And I don't think I'm going to get in trouble by saying this. But I think I might be one of only three people in the entire world to have achieved this feat. And I have officially hit a tennis ball with a cricket bat over the Green Monster at Fenway Park. It's a bit of a random fact. And for those who don't know, the audience, the Green Monster at Fenway Park is a large wall or stand in a baseball stadium. If there's any visitors, listeners from the UK, they may not understand that. And conversely, in the US, a cricket bat, cricket is a sport, that is played around the world, not necessarily much in the US, and it's kind of like a long bat. And I, like I said, tennis ball, cricket bat over the green monster.
That's some good coordination. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. So did you plan this? Did you practice? I mean, what went behind this scene?
Like I said, this is why I hope it doesn't get me in trouble with it. So I went to Boston University. I had two roommates. All three of us were English. We played on the soccer team there at BU. And, you know, typical Boston Sunday afternoon, we're wandering the streets and happened to have a cricket bat and a tennis ball with us and happened to be walking by Fenway Park. So when I say I hit a tennis ball with a cricket bat over the green monster, I wasn't actually in the stadium at the time. I was on the other side and it went in. So that's why I hope I don't get in trouble for this comment. But it has been about 20 years, so I think we're probably pretty good at this point.
I think that's something you need to add to your LinkedIn profile. I think people need to know this about you.
I'll take that as a challenge. Why not?
Oh, that's awesome. So were you the only one of the group that was able to do it?
Those are the three. So that's what I'm saying. Three people in the world. I think it was me and my two English roommates. I can't imagine there was anybody else in the world that has been stupid enough to do this. So.
That's awesome.
I assure you I've grown up since then. That was very much in my student days. And like I said, quite a while ago.
Well, yeah, it'd be interesting to see if you could still do it. So what's one piece of advice that you could give to, you know, people that are trying to claw up the ranks and see some of the success that you've been able to see in this space?
Yeah, I mean, I think to, you know, and I've still got a lot to learn too, right? I mean, I and that's one thing that I believe in, that you should always be learning, no matter who you are, where you're at, no matter what level you're at, you've always got something to learn, something new to do, something to achieve. So. And that would probably be the first thing. And I definitely see that in myself, that I've got a long way to go. You know, yes, I have experienced a lot, both as an outside consultant, an internal practitioner, and as a leader. But I've got a lot to learn, whether it's leadership or whether it's procurement or technology or whatever it is. So continue to focus on growing, learning, developing, professional development. I think that's key. The one thing I always look back on my career and feel grateful for is that I actually started my career in a relatively small organization. Wasn't a household name, but that was okay because it meant that I wasn't just another number in that organization. I actually meant something and I could interact directly with the high levels and the president, and I got that great high level exposure. That's one thing to think about, especially coming out of school. And a lot of people look at the big brand names and think, hey, that's where I want to go to work. I want to go work at Facebook or Apple or wherever it may be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe you could take kind of a little detour on your career and get some good experience in the way. So that's one thing. And then, of course, networking, the power of networking, that's always critical and key in this world, whether that's LinkedIn, in person, various different groups, that's always key. And then persistence, you know, that's one thing that I genuinely believe in. We just closed the deal recently that I feel like I've been trying to convince the organization for about 7 years to do. And my boss once told me, like, hey, Mark, like, you know, when you've got an idea and you want to do something, you're like a dog on a bone. You're like, you will not give up. And I genuinely believe that, you know, obviously being respectful about it, but just making sure that when you think something's right and you want to get something done, do not give up and just keep being persistent. So the combination of those things, I think, is something to think about as you're progressing in your career.
Yeah, absolutely. And props to you for getting that done and staying with it. I mean, 7 years, that's a long time to be persistent. It's a hard.
I'm not particularly proud of it, I will say, but anyway, we got it done at the end of the day.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's great. Thank you so much for your expertise and your advice today. I know that's going to be monumental to everyone that's listening today, especially some younger folks that are trying to achieve that kind of success. So thank you so much. And thank you so much for everyone who joined us today. Happy Friday. I hope that y'all go out there and have a very blessed week. Thank you so much again for joining us.
I do have one more thing I have to say. Tomorrow, when we're filming this, is my 10-year anniversary as well. So I have to say congratulations to my wife and how much I love her as well. So 10 years tomorrow. So
congratulations. Congratulations. That's awesome. 10 years. That's, yeah. Y'all are going to make it. You make it through the first 10. It's, you know everything about each other at that point, and it's just smooth sailing. So congratulations to you and your wife. That's awesome.
Thanks for having me, Katie.
Of course. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye, everyone. Bye.